I understand that the windmill is part of my story. Windmill. It's so much more about just sex. I'm a pilot.
I'm about to embark on the most amazing flight of my life.
Very high on life. Definitely a lot of flying. That's my first love. This is the captain speaking. I'd like to welcome aboard Bachelaire. Buckle up. It's going to be a bumpy ride. You know, there's going to be ups and downs. There's definitely going to be drama.
What drama?
But hopefully we'll end with a nice greasy of a touchdown. Welcome aboard.
Hello, Internet.
Em's back.
I'm back.
Em's back.
Back in the studio. It's wonderful. You know, it feels like home in here. Honestly.
With or without the interns?
Well, the interns sort of, you know, they warm it up.
I like part to, of
they
the
make,
community.
They make the bed.
They make the bed.
They make the bed sometimes. Yeah. Like, they take out the garbage
they
when they need
to. They do the dishes.
To.
They're really good at
Somebody
the dishes.
Cleans the toilet.
No, that's still me.
The interns. Anyway, so we have a special episode this week. I feel like, I don't know if we've teased this before or not. We have a special episode this week. We've not one, we've two special guests in the friend zone tonight in this episode. Special guests, would you like to introduce yourself and maybe say something? Just say anything, actually, just say something.
Yeah.
Hello, this is Curtis.
Hi, Curtis.
I have returned to the friend zone for the third time.
Is that true?
Curtis!
Much like my love life in the past.
Yeah, wow! And me, yes. Curtis and I did like a men tell all episode during JoJo's season. I don't know how long ago.
Two of them. We did two in JoJo's season. We did. The one during the middle, and we did the finale together, actually.
Wow!
That is true.
Oh.
Yeah. Curtis and I have known each other forever. Forever. No, I was home in Springfield.
Yeah.
Oh!
This is like we were doing wedding planning, and I was home in Springfield.
Ugh, oh, that. Yikes.
Yeah, that nasty party.
Gash.
I didn't say it. Other special guest, who are you?
I am Antoinette. I am Curtis's wife, which is how I know Taylor and Adam. And Curtis and I are in San Francisco for a kind of an extended weekend, so that's what brings us here.
This is great!
Yeah, take a trip to San Francisco. You might end up on our show.
You could
end up,
yeah.
It's amazing.
Yeah. The easiest way to end up on our show is to
to actually just come.
Is to walk into the studio while the show is going on.
I have to imagine that. Pull up Google Maps and it just comes up podcasting studio at your place. You just knock on the door.
25 Delight Enterprises
on a Monday.
No, we're an LLC, and you know it.
LLC, yeah. For tax purposes, obviously.
Just on a Monday, and you could be on this podcast.
We have to be an LLC because we can't pay the interns.
Yeah, right. So anyway, we're all in here today, and there was 2 hours of like really nothing happened.
But?
Just woman drama.
Yeah.
But?
We love to see it.
A lot of gems.
Oh, so Do much we? Good stuff. You know, even when nothing happens, there's always things that you can really pick out that...
Illiteracy.
Illiteracy.
Illiteracy jumps off the page.
Yes, it really, literally jumps off the page.
I'm not sure you're using that word right.
I'm fine with it. It's okay.
So anyway, so here's what happens. If you didn't listen to episode 2, why? Go back and listen to it.
That's a good one.
But if you didn't, we started this episode, we started this whole week at the end of the champagne controversy.
Oh, boy.
So here's what happened is these two women started fighting about basically nothing.
Kelsey and Hannah Ann, let's give them names. They are people.
Whatever. So the producers pit them against each other, and they fought about this bottle of champagne.
Get into it. Drama.
It was like an hour of television.
For a while. Can I tell you my favorite part
Please.
Of this drama?
Please.
I didn't know there was more than one part. Go on.
Kelsey said she didn't even like champagne.
That is the thing that I could not get over. You
what?
Brought a 400 plus dollar bottle of Dom from Iowa, and then have the nerve on national television to say, I don't even like champagne. What is happening?
Was she just going to watch him drink it? Was that going to be their date?
I don't understand. Like, even me, as a lady, who, you know, I'm an old lady, and I don't love champagne, and sometimes champagne, you half a glass. Right. You know, we're having fun.
Celebration.
Celebration. That's it.
Who doesn't like champagne? I mean,
I enjoy champagne.
We love champagne.
It's good. It's like water, but it's booze, and it sparkles. Yeah. It's delicious.
It's beautiful. I love to see it.
But also, it's a trap.
It's a trap.
She didn't bring a bottle of champagne. She brought a trap. She brought a reason she could hate another woman, which, you know, sounds like a woman thing to do.
And then what continued to happen is, as always, the tears start coming up. The victim sort of mentality happens. Anytime a woman is in a fight, especially on this show, it's like, let me show you some tears, and then hopefully that will make you feel bad for me. And then no one knows what bullying actually means.
Right.
That's a huge problem for me.
I would like to state my favorite part of this entire saga was that the phrase champagne stealer was uttered. Somebody said that I am not a champagne stealer, as if
that would have to be Hannah Ann.
Yeah, as if that's a job or something that happens all the time,
an activity,
minor league football team. You want to go see the champagne stealers this weekend? It's towel night, so yeah, obviously.
Yes, they're playing the Utah Jazz. The champagne stealers are playing the Utah Jazz.
She was just very hurt that someone accused her of being a champagne stealer.
It's like a hamburger.
Like a hamburger. It's like very, very classy hamburger.
Yes. What a mess. So the girls were continuing to fight at the beginning. Everyone is crying. No one's talking about Peter. No one knows what bullying means. I think the word fiasco was inappropriately...
It was
pronounced.
Attempted a couple of times.
It was attempted a couple of times.
Poorly.
And one of the girls said, instead of fiasco, a fidasco?
It was Hannah Ann. First of all, it was Hannah Ann.
Hannah Ann said that. You know how sometimes I say on the show, these girls sound 23? This was a moment where you could say that someone sounded 23.
23 is generous.
It's generous, truly.
I think you're being very kind with that.
I know that sometimes I say... Prowess?
What do you think the word
is? I don't know! I need somebody to tell me. But I would never say fidasco. What is that?
I think she said fidasco.
No.
I also may have heard finasco.
Yeah. Either way, it was very wrong.
Oh, no, it was definitely
wasn't
right.
It was not fiasco.
But
it was fiasco, just with a couple of other letters in there.
Some extra consonants.
Yes.
At the same time, though, Adam... When you edit this podcast, when I edit the podcast that we are on, if I hear something that just isn't right, I'm like, I'm going to try and figure out a place to cut this out. Why was that not done here in editing where she was like, oh, that's not the word that she tried to say there. That's definitely not a word at all.
It's a great point.
Why weren't the editors let's cut this part
out? You know what?
Out.
Counterpoint. Maybe this was her smartest attempt at it.
Maybe she said it so many times and they were like, this is the best one. Let's leave it.
Counterpoint. Like, the cutting room floor has some fafascos. You don't even know what she's trying to say.
Got some fafsas on there.
That is an awful reality.
Yeah.
Oh, no.
Yeah, imagine it being true.
Oh,
I don't know why I didn't think of that. Like, maybe they left it in there, but also...
Because I don't
maybe
think
they didn't have anything else.
If I'm not 100% sure, but I don't think that this was just in general conversation. This, I believe, was an interstitial. This was a face-to-face with the camera.
This was an in-the-moment. So
they very easily could have been like,
hey, I think you meant this other word. Yep. Take it again.
Yeah.
So some producer, who we've already found out over the course of the last few episodes, if no one knew that the producers were evil, they knew it last week when the champagne got mixed up. That was a fiasco. This was also a moment for you to say, you know what? The producers definitely don't have anybody's best interests at heart, because they would have been the people to say, hey, girl. It's not fidasco. It's fiasco. And she would have been like, oh my God, nobody ever told me that. Thank you so much.
I like to think this is the best take they had.
I do too.
She got it one letter away. That's a wrap.
As evil people said, you know what? Keep it. We're moving on.
But like, regardless, at the beginning of this episode, it is just stupid woman.
It really is.
Like, everyone in the whole house is talking about this one fight that these two women are having, and nothing else is happening.
And Antoinette, you as an outspoken lady in this, you know, world that we're living in, and you have not watched The Bachelor in a very long period of time.
I have only seen one episode, and that was the finale episode that Curtis and Adam did for JoJo's season. So I have not ever seen The Bachelor.
So, thoughts. I apologize. So, thoughts based on, you know, just living in the world and your thoughts about things.
How do you feel about that woman choice now?
Do you feel great about it?
It is a lot.
It's a lot.
And there were a lot of times throughout this episode that Peter seemed very weary. And I believe it's only week three.
It is week three.
So I don't know how he's going to do it.
I don't either.
For however many more weeks. But he seemed tired.
He seemed
really exhausted.
Your boy's on the struggle bus.
Kind of all tired.
I'm sick of it. I'm sick and tired.
It was a bottle of champagne.
Yeah.
Are we done yet?
And nobody was really addressing what they tried to make the more serious part about this, which was the whole bullying aspect of it.
Yeah.
Everybody was talking about this champagne thing.
Right. You know, I just want one person to tell everybody what bullying actually means.
Right.
Because this ain't it.
Yeah.
You know?
Bullying became a catch-all thing for when someone made you upset.
Right.
But that's not what bullying is.
No, she cussed you out and you got mad about it. That's fine.
I don't think anyone is concerned about, like, accuracy and objectivity here.
No. Not on this show.
Like, everyone, this is my reaction last week when I was watching the show on my fancy business trip.
Ugh, here we go.
And I was watching it, I was like, does everyone in this show literally think that the world revolves around them?
Yes!
This is my number one human being pet peeve. Like, you're not the center of gravity. The universe doesn't cater to you. Like, everyone else is the star of their own show.
Sure.
They're not just characters in yours. Whatever. This is, like, the number one thing that, the realization that makes you a grown-up. And I was like, why does everybody think that their little problems are so big?
You know, Instagram really makes people crazy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And that's a terrible mindset to have on this show when you were trying, like, all of these girls are trying to talk themselves into the fact that Peter is dating
they are the center of the
them and not anybody else.
Yeah.
And so anytime that any other girl gets just a little more time than they do, it's this, whoa, hold on. I thought we had a thing here. Why is he even talking to these girls?
It's almost like I'm going to find myself at odds with this cast every season.
Every
time. Oh, it's almost.
Who'd have thunk it?
I don't want to spoil season 15, but spoiler alert.
Yeah.
I'm going to be at odds with these people.
Yeah.
I also noticed that a lot of ladies have maybe not had a very hard life.
Talk about it.
Several of them on this episode noted that the thing that happened to them, maybe this the champagne drama or other things we'll get into, were the worst evenings of their life. Which, oh boy, if that's
if
that's, you know, good for you if that's the worst thing that's happened to you, though.
Right.
You know.
Maybe, you know,
maybe just zoom out. Maybe.
Yeah. Just, you know, big picture. Just,
yeah.
Try perspective. Just try
know.
It.
I don't know. A little perspective.
Read a book could be cool. And then maybe, you know.
I think you're too young for a retrospective.
Oh my God. Oh, we love to see it. Okay, so moving on. So our first activity
talk about actual dates. There's only two in the whole episode.
Yeah, so our first activity of the actual episode was the one-on-one date with Victoria P. Now, everybody remembers that Victoria P. is the blonde that likes to wear her glasses a lot?
For it. There's two blondes that like to wear their glasses a lot. Only one of them's not on the show anymore.
Oh, no. Spoiler alert. So, Victoria P. goes on the quintessential cowboy date. Now, I will mention this, and I will say it until I'm blue in the face. What power does country music have over this franchise where we have to continue to have conversations about cowboy boots, bull riding,
line dancing,
any other sort of random country act that
anything
shows
that
up,
could be rootinist
and or tootinist. Thank you. Like, you know, entertain me. Let's expand our horizons a little bit. This is why everybody went to Stagecoach and basically got herpes because of this show.
And they leaned into it hard from the very beginning because yes. Peter shows up in a flannel shirt and they drive an old truck over to the boot store.
Now, wait a minute. They're in L.A. And also, I thought Peter was Cuban, everybody.
He's his family lives in Miami. They're Cuban. He's like, this is where I grew up. We used to go line dancing down by the... And then he can't even keep talking because there's straw in his mouth. He's like, bro.
Pick one.
Yeah, where are you from? They're like, yeah, I want to take you to my hometown. Just a little bit of where I grew up. And I was like, I was expecting it to be, sorry if this is a little bit bilingual, Mas Cubano.
Right. It was literally Westlake Village. Here's the one country shop on this entire block.
It's like a whole store full of boots and spurs and like maybe a horse walk through and then a hay bale goes across the aisle. I was like, wait, where are you from?
Make it make sense. Truly. Make it make sense. So Peter thinks he can dance. Whatever. Thoughts of Victoria T.
It's line dancing. It's not even really dancing so much as just occasionally slapping your boots.
You've got some nerve.
I dance like a moron.
Can I come in here, please?
Please.
So,
Curtis is a very good dancer for people who aren't listening.
Quite. Very true.
Thanks, guys. So, Peter says that Victoria is, quote, the greatest on the dance floor, and it's... Like Adam said, it's line dancing. Can you memorize some steps?
We're rooting and we're tooting.
Do you have some rhythm? No? Well, you're probably still okay.
Fine.
So, yes, line dancing is not that much of a challenge.
It's not. I would ask her if she knew how to Dougie. She probably couldn't do that.
Probably can't.
I feel like she's probably too young for that, which is so sad.
Oh, no, she is. Oh,
so sad.
Let's just not call any kind of dancing like super easy or like anybody could do that. You know, it's not for all of us. It's not something everybody likes. Maybe sometimes I want to read a book or like, you know, have other skills.
But the thing is that Adam can dance. He chooses not to.
Yeah, I don't get it.
You can dance.
Nope.
You just don't do it.
Nope.
You don't do it.
This is the attitude of somebody who will not accept me for who I am. this is you're like the parent who's like little league son is batting 0-0-0. No, you just gotta swing harder.
You just gotta swing harder. You gotta think about it.
Keep forcing him to try out for the team. That's what you're doing here right now.
It's fine. But my thoughts on Victoria P. I really enjoy her.
So let's talk about the second part of the date.
Okay.
So they do this like cowboy
the
show thing,
and the
like,
tooting, blah,
everybody's
blah, blah.
Got six shooters and they're ooting all over the place.
Right, right, right.
Then they go to dinner in and of all places, an airplane hangar.
Oh god!
Wait a minute. Did you guys know that Peter was a pilot?
I was not aware.
Did
before
you know?
This show.
Not aware.
Oh
a
my god!
A pilot, like the first episode of a TV series.
No.
A pen.
A pen.
Of airplanes.
Oh.
He flies airplanes.
My favorite part of this airplane hangar was the vintage luggage placed at a lovely angle in front of the table that they were eating dinner at, just to reemphasize the fact that you bring luggage when you go on a plane.
I didn't even notice that. Thank you so much, because that really sets the message home that Peter is
an airplane.
An airplane. Oh. Yes.
I thought we were talking about like geometry, like a plane, right?
No.
Like it's two dimensions, extends it,
sure.
You know.
Oh, God.
I was way off. My bad. So they go to dinner in this airplane, and Victoria P. gives us her sob story. I think we've heard this two or three times by now, and it's like genuinely traumatic.
It's awful.
Her dad
it is,
died.
For sure.
Her dad died. Her mom responded to it by, you know, with an addiction that was like very unhealthy, and like she had to bounce around from homes and like sort of co-parent her sister. Really sad.
After two people who have also recently watched Cheer. Really intense for us.
Yeah, I mean, I don't think she needed to pull out all the ammunition right now.
I thought it was too early.
It's a lot. Like, this is literally the first conversation they've ever had.
Mm-hmm.
You don't meet people that way.
But that's what this show is. This is the opening up that everybody does is, all right, me opening up is telling this person my deepest, darkest secret. And it sometimes, in this case, may make me a better person, but sometimes it's just a story and that's me opening up. But there's
being
no
vulnerable.
Yeah, there's no emotions attached to that. Like I said, this is not that case. Victoria very clearly is very emotional about this.
Right. Reasonable.
I'm just confused. To me, her stories of her life don't line up.
Okay.
So she was in and out of a homeless shelter with her mom and her sister. But she was also doing a lot of pageants. Like, how does that work?
Thank you.
Maybe that was
great
later.
Point. Okay. Great point. But then the other thing that I feel like she probably had to feel like I'm at least in a front runner position enough where I not
you already have the one-on-one date.
Right.
This
I
is
have
a,
the
is
one-on-one
what, second
date.
Second one of the season? Third one?
Yeah, something like that. I have one of the very first one-on-one dates. He and I have had this close sort of thing off jump. Like, I have enough built up in the bank to essentially, if I give him this sob story and it doesn't work out, it is not going to be detrimental for me to not make it to the next week.
Okay.
You know? So it's a gamble you have to make. It's risky. You know? She might play poker, she might not. But you know, you got to put yourself out there, be vulnerable, and know that maybe he's going to take it or maybe he's not.
I got two things to say. First thing, from a storytelling perspective, like, I hate to be the one who's like, oh my God, I'm a writer. But from a storytelling perspective, this is not the right time to do this.
Okay.
You need to wait until you have a date where you interact with, like, little kids. And you're like, oh my God, it's like when I sort of borderline raised my sister. You need a bridge. You can't just cold jump into this. First thought. That. Storytelling perspective, you could be a lot more effective if you waited until the plot naturally tied together. Second of all, So the reason I wasn't here last week is because I was at this work thing where like 130 people were in this room and everyone had to stand up and say, hi, here's what I do and here's a fun fact about me.
Dumb.
Which is exactly
stupid.
So bad.
30 people. Hi, I'm Adam. I do content marketing in San Francisco. Here's a fun fact about me. I read 47 books last year.
Boo, we get it!
So like that's it. But also, what she did is the equivalent of that. Hi, I'm Victoria P., I'm 27, and a fun fact about me is that my dad died when I was...
Yes.
Like, oh my
yes.
God. This
She's
is the
like,
first
I have
time
to
they've
tell
ever
you
talked.
Something. Yeah, they met each other 2 seconds ago.
2 seconds,
Just
literally.
Think about how that would go off in the circumstance I described.
Yeah.
Not great,
that's,
Bob.
That's how it was for him.
Not great, Bob. Mm-mm.
And then his response was to say, well, I prayed, then I saw a shooting star, and I wished on that star, and here you are.
And then roll credits.
Yeah.
And like, don't.
It was kind of a bizarre response.
Peter's so nice. You know?
He's simple.
He's simple. He's one of those guys that you meet and you go, you know what? There's nothing up there.
Yeah.
And that's fine.
So,
yes.
I don't want you to be my pilot, but maybe you could be somebody else's.
I'm glad that you said that he's simple.
He's simple.
Here's something that I've been kicking around with. And I know that all four of us noticed this tonight. And this is a Hannah-ism that Peter picked up. He talks about his heart all the time.
Yes!
And so here's, like, we can, this is, now is the right time to talk about this, but I think he talks about his heart as a shorthand for everything that he can't understand about his brain. It's a catch-all. It's either one or the other. And so if he doesn't understand it, he goes, oh, this must be a heart thing. Right? Tell me I'm wrong.
I think that...
Do you, or is it your heart?
Well,
see?
TBD.
See? It's easy.
You know, when you really care about somebody and when you really love them, you start speaking like the other person and vice versa. You pick up
different phrases. Are you looking at me right now?
You pick up different phrases. You pick up different idioms, euphemisms, like manners of speaking.
Start talking about things in terms of acts.
Yep. You start talking about things in terms of acts and storytelling. You start saying things like, my dude, what have you. You know who says things like talking about someone's heart and seeing other people's heart?
Hannah
Brown.
Oh.
Don't you find it weird that Peter is starting to talk like Hannah Brown?
There's another alternative here where the producers, like, this is just their word that they're going on. It's like journey. It's like a word that they just put in everyone's mouth.
Okay.
But also, hey, you can't explain it. Don't worry. Just say it's a heart thing.
Curtis?
I'm with Taylor on this one.
Oh.
And?
So she's gone, right?
She's, well.
Well, TBD.
Allegedly. Okay.
That would be amazing if she came back around and this really did mold together here.
That is my bold prediction.
Wow.
I don't know what we're going to do.
Get out of here. Let's move on.
Anyway, so Victoria P. gets the rose. We love to see it.
She's doing really well.
Trauma has been rewarded. Everybody's excited.
Yeah. Not her real nose, right?
Oh.
Oh, man.
No.
A lot of work.
I'd say a lot of work. Over under on how much of her face is actually real. Maybe 65%.
Yeah. Cheekbones too prominent as well.
Yeah. You know, I got to send you guys the article from The Cut about the Instagram face.
Oh.
That's this.
Okay.
Everybody has.
Yeah, as long as we're all seeing the same thing.
I'm seeing. Yep. Everybody got the same fillers, girl.
If we're talking about her face, she also has this thing where she smiles and she talks, and her front row, top row teeth come out and touch the top of her lip.
Yeah.
And she just talks like this. It's just like this.
Like a ventriloquist dummy?
Yes. I noticed it throughout the entire date.
Oh, what a gross individual. Okay, so then next up is our group date. Demi is back with some pillow fighting.
Great. More people from the show who we're tired of.
So
awesome.
Fun. So on this date was Sydney, Aliyah, Sarah, Savannah. Wow, what did I spell? Shean, Kelly, Kira, and Tammy. Fred Willard was also on this date. As you know,
this is his 100th appearance on the show.
This is his 100th appearance on the show, and yet nobody is punishing him for pulling his dick out at a movie theater.
Wasn't just out.
Well, it was out and it was active.
And it becomes especially problematic because of this date. Context-wise.
Bingo. Yeah. So
let's talk about the date. What happens in this date?
So in this date, the girls basically are gathered together and pitted against each other in a physical challenge where they pillow fight to the death, so to speak. They are also given particular costumes, or as one girl called it, lingerie?
I think it was Deandra?
No, it was Kira.
Kira.
Who called it lingerie instead of lingerie.
Reading is not a strong suit. Pronunciation, not a strong suit.
Any
just
of it.
Among the field.
Just truly any of it, guys. So the girls are all sort of matched up together, and one of the main conflicts from this entire episode started between Sydney and Aliyah. Aliyah, who is a pageant queen, as we know, and Sydney is not feeling the fakeness coming from Aliyah.
So this sort of starts simmering pre-activity. They're like, listen, I don't really like you. I don't really like you either. And then they just got in their lingerie and started pillow fighting.
Sure.
Right? And then somehow, through just the miracle of competitive sport, the two girls who wanted it the most are these two, and they pillow fought the best and ended up in the championship match.
What?
Totally authentic.
I even wrote in my notes, Aliyah is really bad at this.
Yes.
She got rocked twice.
Rocked.
In her match with whoever it was.
Some woman.
Before she fought Sydney. She was clearly not the better person in that match.
Yeah.
And then again, in her match against Sydney, clearly not the better person in that match.
Interesting. Did she win the entire thing?
She did, somehow.
Wow.
So weird. So it's almost like the producers wanted her to win to feed a storyline.
Right? And to give her a crown.
Are we watching television? This is so crazy.
I wrote down the first rule of Pillow Fight Club and then stopped writing.
I love it.
Sounds like you guys are sort of breaking the first two rules.
We're talking about Pillow Fights Club.
I didn't want to bring it up. But,
my bad. So we get to the evening portion of the date. And this is where things get very interesting. There are a couple of people that stood out for me at the evening portion of the date. The first was Sydney, where she broke the silence between her and Aliyah and said, so, do you like work or whatever? This was her effort to both, one, try to start a conversation with her, two, try to start a fight with her, and three, try to make her feel like a dummy because she didn't have a job.
However, she got to a fourth thing.
What was the fourth thing, Curtis?
She was trying to get Aliyah to essentially say that sometimes, because of her pageant background, she puts on these fronts that she can say, according to Aliyah, dance around a question that she doesn't know the answers to.
And she doesn't know the answers to any question.
No, this will come back.
Especially, like, what is your job?
This will come back later on in the episode when Peter asks her a specific question and she does not answer it at all.
Right. So, Sydney is trying this. She's trapping her, essentially. She was working up to it. She was trying to not really extend the olive branch, but just kind of make a general
fodder.
Yeah, general conversation, and then just pull the carpet out with the, so sometimes you are able to, like, change who you are because of the situation. And Aliyah definitely just has this pause where it's like, oh, now I see what you were doing that whole time.
Sinister. Is Sydney smart?
She is smarter than Aliyah, but, you know.
We're using the word smart like we're using the word lingering.
I mean, these, like, what we're seeing right now are also Rands just sort of taking each other out to feel like this is somebody giving a race, like, a finishing kick to finish 13th instead of 14th when the actual champions are already, like, back in their regular clothes sitting in the stands. Like, none of these girls are going to win. Do you really think Sydney's an actual competitor? No. Or you think she's just dragging herself into the mud right now to win this dumb fight that isn't anything? She's, you know, the, like, three or four girls that he's actually into, and it's not Sydney or Aliyah.
One thing I noticed, and you guys tell me if this happens every season, these women talk about Peter like he is this hapless idiot, that he can't investigate, ask his own questions, get to know the women himself, that they have to do this for him. Otherwise, this poor man is going to be duped and this whole thing would have been a sham. And I don't understand why they spend all their time worrying about poor Peter.
I think the producers tell them to do that, but also I don't think... I mean, you've met the guy now for 2 hours.
Tell us how smart Peter is.
He definitely has no idea what to talk to these women about.
Sure.
He resorts to just making out with them. And
I'm so horned up.
And close talking.
Yes, I love a close talk. Aunt, I love you. And thank you for bringing that up. Because you're right. Why are these women talking about Peter like this?
This is so worried about
him. So worried about him.
The entire second half of this date is this. It's two women who are fighting each other, and then a bunch of other women talking about the two women who are fighting each other, and then Peter talking to those six of them about the two women who are fighting each other. And then the final act is this. The women talking about Peter talking to the women about the two women who are fighting.
A lot of these women do this friend zone thing where...
Look who's talking.
I know. Not necessarily putting Peter in the friend zone, but they are placing themselves in the friend zone. Because Sydney makes this point where she says to Peter, I just don't want to see you get hurt. And she is not saying this in a way whereas, I don't want to see you get hurt, and that's why I want you to be with me. I won't hurt you. It's... I don't want to see you end up with some fake girl.
No matter who you pick.
No matter who you are with. Right. And so they are trying to do this thing where it's like, I just really want you to be happy, and without coming out and saying, and I want you to be happy with me.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. Which is a huge mistake.
They're playing not to lose.
Yeah, they're playing not to lose. They're playing the Leslie Murphy game. They're not playing,
whoa.
Hey man, you gotta play the Catherine game. You can't play the Leslie Murphy game.
Leslie Murphy played her game into, like, an actual career.
Leslie Murphy didn't play the game with you, Adam, Leslie and that's why you're mad about it.
Leslie Murphy is the perfect woman.
I'll
say that to my wife's face.
And I heard it. And I heard it and I accept it.
Whatever.
It's fine.
Leslie Murphy, if you're listening, you know, like,
you guys literally have the same birthday.
We have the same birthday. And we met in person, and I couldn't talk for 30 minutes because I was nervous.
That's adorable.
And she had her ugly boyfriend there, and Adam was like, this guy is ugly.
Oh my God, this guy was ugly.
You hate to see it.
You really hate to see it.
I'm not, like, great, but I read so much that it makes up for it, right?
It's a balance.
Well, he was a photographer, and what did she need but someone to take pictures of her?
I can do a Rubik's Cube in, like, a minute.
That's not helpful. That's not going to go on the Instagram page.
It could.
Does the Rubik's Cube then turn into a camera that you can take her picture with?
Leslie Murphy, you're listening. I'd love to show you how it works.
Gross. So, other people that get honorable mention from this group date, can we talk about Kelly for a minute?
Okay, we should talk about it and just end the date here.
I'm so fine with that.
And then start the next segment. So tell us about Kelly.
So, as you know, Kelly has been my literal favorite person for 3 weeks. Kelly does not want to be here. Kelly literally hates Peter. She walked into this whole thing.
She's already slept with him.
She's already had sex with him. So she's like, I don't care if I stay or not. Whatever. The first thing she says to Peter on this group date when they have one-on-one time is, I hate your face. You have a beard. I don't like beards. I prefer you to be scruffy. And then they make out for
a
little bit.
He's like, hey, listen, so what's going on with this Sydney and Alea thing? And she goes, listen, whatever, your beard's way too long, you idiot.
Yes, that's literally what she said. He asked her about what was going on in the house. She's like, I don't know, but you look so stupid with that beard.
I don't know, but also, like, I'd like to criticize you for just unprompted,
please. Unprompted. And so she did. And then Sydney gets the group date rose. And then in the
date over.
Sydney date
gets,
is over.
Sydney gets the group date rose because he's not smart enough to understand what's going on. He's like, I've got to pick A or B. And he picks Sydney. Whatever. Over.
Smash cut.
Pool party. We're going to have a pool party for an hour of the show. Peter shows up wearing a little tiny swim trunk.
It's a 5-inch inseam, and he has no thighs.
And a hoodie, because those go together.
It's also freezing in Los Angeles. He's probably like, why are we having a pool party? It is so cold outside.
And what else is distinctive about his look?
Curtis, you were the one that brought it up.
No, that was Adam.
It was you?
Yeah, I wear these glasses so I can see stuff like this.
And Adam then said what?
Peter shaved.
We laughed and laughed.
They could have announced who actually shot JFK, the cure for cancer.
Who would have noticed?
And if the moon landing was actually staged.
Which one?
There are many.
Which one? And we wouldn't have known because we were laughing and making fun of Peter for a solid 10 minutes.
Oh my God. Kelly said, I hate your face. I hate your beard. I'm crying because it was so funny. I hate your face. I hate your beard. You have to go back to the scruffy look. This is a mess.
That's it. Boom. Cut to black.
And he was like,
open scene. Shaved Peter.
I have to go home and shave right now. Unbelievable.
All of this stuff is happening. And Peter went home and he looked himself in the mirror and he goes, this is scruff. This isn't a beard. It's totally scruff. But like, how long can I cut it and it's still scruff?
I guess it could be a little shorter.
What's the line, Peter?
He was literally crying in the mirror, going, "It's not short enough. It's not short
Dios
enough."
Dios mío. And you know,
right, speaking Spanish, as want to do, but also listening to country music. What is the truth?
He shaved for Kelly.
Wow. If there was ever a moment for you to say, I don't know who a front runner is, and it's all well and good and cute that we keep talking about Madison, but we don't need to be talking about Madison.
This is an open secret about men. Like, men, like, will do certain things to impress women. Men will change who they are to be with certain women. And that's how you know. That's how you know you're not just some champagne f-
Well, yes. To speak so candidly.
Yeah.
Yes, you are not a champagne.
No, I'm a giver of advice to the masses, to the hundreds of people who listen to our show, with whatever length beard they have.
The dozens.
It's too long.
It's too long. If Kelly got on the show and said, your beard, I hate it.
I would shave.
You would shave.
No,
I love Kelly.
I wouldn't. I wouldn't just because I don't want to be like what Peter is.
A yes man?
It's amazing, right?
That was the craziest. I've never seen anything like that.
I would play the long game. Like, okay. And then I wouldn't shave the next day like Peter did. I would not show up the next day with noticeably shorter facial hair.
Oh, my God.
But maybe, like, a week later, be like, yeah, I just felt like it was time. It was time, you know?
Too long.
No, I think we were joking the rest of the episode, and I think this is something that she should definitely do. She just started throwing other stuff out there. Just see what else she can get him changed, you know?
Nope.
Hey, nice shirt. Got it in black. It's colognes. Interesting.
Yeah.
You know?
She's like,
just see what you can
do.
She's
like, I like a guy with a 4-inch inseam. 5? Just too long.
And cut to him taking out a pair of scissors right then. And just, stupid, Peter. You're stupid.
Eyebrows are looking a little bit too blonde. Just dye those things.
A little too like, on your face. Okay, fine. Right off.
It was also great because he just announced to them how he wasn't feeling his best. Like, he clearly had had a rough time of it.
He didn't sleep because of the facial hair.
Yes.
Well, was it his facial hair or was Peter... just the way that they described Peter being in such a bad mood, I was like, is he administrating right now? Like, are you on your cycle? Like, he's like, I just got off a heating pad. Like, I'm not feeling it.
I didn't know
it.
If I really wanted to come to this pool party
right?
or not.
Like, I'm so bloated. Like, I don't want to be here. Fantastic.
That's it.
So
Kelly's like, yeah, listen, I like guys who don't want to be here, but maybe when they're wearing eye patches?
Like, speak like a pirate.
Peter's like, yarr.
Yarr. I love it. So Peter has no thighs, but everybody's talking about Alaya, which is so cool.
It's an hour. Like, what happens next is we lose an hour of television to these two girls doing this she said, she said thing. And, like, there are no winners. Alaya's like, listen, I'm not terrible. I'm great. And then Sydney's like, no, wait, though. I'm not terrible. I'm great. And I already have a rose.
Right.
And then everybody else is like, yeah, listen, Alaya's pretty terrible.
Alaya sucks. She really does.
And that's it. It's an hour of that.
Now, I have a question. So there's a lot of girls who have been in pageants. Do we find that the problem is the girls, or do we find that the problem is the pageants? Because the pageants cause people to, like Sydney said and Alaya said early on, to behave in a certain way.
Mm-hmm.
Do we think the pageants are a problem?
I think it's the pageants.
Mm-hmm. Say more.
I think pageants are just a way for the patriarchy, because they're mostly run by men.
Go off.
To... just create a pretty much a factory assembly line of women. They have to look a certain way, present themselves a certain way, be prim and proper. It's just a weird assembly line thing dressed up as female empowerment and a nice scholarship.
Thank you, Antoinette.
Yeah, no problem.
That was great. Very hot. Gentlemen, anything else?
I think there's an undercurrent of narcissism that makes people terrible. And everything.
Also a great point.
Reality TV or you're the best, the whatever.
Worthy
the somethingest
of the
person.
Worthy of the crown.
To do either one.
Yeah. Say what you will about, say, sports, where it is, it's dumb for, you know, 40,000 people to show up to a building to watch 10 people play a game of basketball and be so emotionally invested in it that there are fights that break out after the game between fans. But to have just this completely subjective thing where it's just like, you are the prettiest and best of all the other people here. Congratulations. There is definitely something to be said about pageants that's not the greatest.
But isn't this a glorified pageant?
More fights should be breaking out of them?
This show.
More people should be showing up and more fights should be breaking out between the supporters of Miss Alabama and Miss Minnesota.
That's what I heard.
That's right. But this show is essentially a pageant.
For sure.
Absolutely.
Yeah, it is. For sure.
It's a contest about who is the most desirable. It's not an actual, like,
it's
connection machine.
It's how can you dress up your package.
Right.
And present it in the best way to the final arbiter, which is the Bachelor Bachelorette. And you only get a limited amount of time.
Right.
So you get a minute
right.
to give your best answer. And that's what they judge you on. So yeah, it's just it's a very dramatic pageant.
Yes, champagne
with
is
a lot of alcohol
and lingerie,
a lot of lingerie. I just feel like we're on a dangerous road this season where nobody is using their percent at all.
Yeah,
like no one talked about themselves.
Yes, that is true.
Come on, I mean, like here I am, like you know, don't be narcissistic. And here I am. Right. Like, talk about yourself, right? It's tough to please me. That's why I'm great at the show.
That's true.
But no, like, I don't spend your time talking to another person, especially in a limited thing, like, discussing a third person.
Yeah.
If A and B are having a conversation, just leave it that way.
Or
it's okay.
Ask Peter about himself. Ask him a question.
Yeah, it's okay to just talk about the two of you. That's what you're supposed to do in a one-on-one conversation.
Yeah,
seems reasonable. You're not supposed to talk about two other girls who aren't there.
Seems reasonable.
You don't only have to get to know Peter from what you see in the promos or something. Can I ask a question as well? Did they know it was going to be Peter when they were trying out for the show?
Usually they don't know until the very end.
Until they've made it and they're like in Hollywood.
Correct. When they're usually like in the hotel, like waiting to go.
There's more of a lead time for The Bachelor than The Bachelorette, just because the football season takes a longer time than Bachelor in Paradise.
Mm-hmm.
And I only asked because several women said, well, I only came on because I wanted to get to know you. So they sort of acted like they knew it was going to be Peter and they loved what they heard about
him
or something.
They all say that.
They all say that now. Because they're like, I really wanted The Bachelor to be you.
Gotcha.
But, I mean, if it had been Mike, they would have said the same thing to Mike, you know?
Okay.
So we get to the end of this date. The girls are fighting, as I always love to say.
That's all they do.
You know, Peter is very confused about Aliyah and her intentions. I think one of the big things about this is that Peter is very triggered, again, by our special friend, Hannah Brown, who made the wrong decision last season.
Oh, and because it's all over him.
He is in love with her. He's like, I don't want to make the wrong decision. I don't want to do what she did. I don't want her to pick somebody else and not pick me because she has been blinded by whatever they are presenting on the show and not the truth.
And exactly, because that was another part of this whole thing was I got burned by this last season when Hannah picked Jed, and Jed was clearly not there for the right reasons.
Thank you, Kurt.
So he does not want someone to not be there for the right reasons on his season.
Exactly.
He wants them to be real, and that's just an evergreen storyline for this entire show because every single season this comes up.
And you know what? You know the only person that's actually real in this whole thing?
Kelly?
Hannah B.
Oh.
She's not even here.
Yeah, I mean, everyone realizes that you look like an idiot when you pick the wrong person. But just somebody should jump in here from like the philosophy logic standpoint.
And,
like,
oh my God. You guys, we have gotten three episodes almost through and Adam has not talked about his philosophy degree. Here we go.
I wasn't even on one of those episodes. Come on. Like, From a like testing perspective here, there's like a difference between a false positive and a false negative, right?
Jam this pencil in my eye.
So the difference is that what Hannah Brown did was a false positive. She thought she had picked the correct guy, and that was wrong. What he is struggling with are negatives. He thinks he's letting go of the wrong people, which is dumb.
Mm.
That is not you're not here to let go of the correct 29 women. You're here to pick the correct one. So just logically, he is approaching this incorrectly.
Okay. I like that.
I hate to be the guy who does this, but that minor in philosophy is going to get dusty if I don't
like
do it.
I like that theory.
So.
Are we finished?
Yeah, I'm done. Let's go to the end of the road.
Okay, so who did we lose this week?
We lost four women. Three for sure, and one maybe is coming back. Let's talk about the three for sure. This is Sarah, Alexa, and Jasmine.
Yeah.
I'm going to start with Sarah because I have a connection to her. She wears glasses. I was legit going to put this girl in my power rankings this week, even though she's blonde. And I didn't get to because she's not around, and I don't think she said a word in three seasons, episodes.
She seems like a nice young lady.
She seems like she'll make somebody very comfortable
someday. Yes, that is good for her. Next up is Alexa, who, as you know, Springfield, Illinois favorite.
Both of our friends and guests live in Springfield right
yes.
now.
Yes.
I'm from Springfield.
Yes. Yes.
You are where you came from.
Natural hair queen, loves to wear her glasses as well. She doesn't care about anything. I just hope that she
No one's getting waxed the rest of the season.
Nobody's getting waxed for the rest of the season. Everybody's like, you're leaving. Can I just lock it up a little bit? You know, I hope she moves...
On your way out.
I hope she moves to Chicago and her and Diggy from Rachel's season have a beautiful life together. That's also, really what I hope.
She's invited to be on our show, too.
Like, yes, please.
If she wants to. Please. Let's talk about Springfield stuff.
She seems very cool. I would love to spend time with her and just, you know, talk.
Springfield famous people need to stick together, you know? Like, us, dozens of listeners.
Ryan
and her...
Held.
Her, like,
Who?
National team.
Ryan Held?
Olympic swimmer?
He was on the gold medal winning 4x1. No, that's not a thing.
He was the medley.
Is the medley in the last Olympics.
Is he hot? Oh, you guys hesitated!
You like beef? He's a swimmer.
I couldn't tell you what he looks like, honestly.
I don't know what he looks like.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, we'll have to get back
anyway,
to the team on that.
Bye, Alexa.
Did the interns know? Children?
We'll get the staff on it.
Thank you.
Is he hot? Google it.
Somebody. Anybody.
Third person we lost is Jasmine.
I like Jasmine. She never said anything.
Tell me something she said.
Oh, she said something in Vietnamese, I believe, early on in episode one.
She seemed like people liked her.
She had a great head of hair.
Yeah.
I only recalled seeing her at the end, so...
It's about the wrong time to be seeing somebody for the first time.
That's pretty much it. That's it. Mm-hmm.
The fourth person that we lost TBD is Aleia, who is the loser of this big fight.
Now, what are you saying? Are you saying Aleia or is it Alana?
Aleia.
Alana?
Like if there's an LA in the middle of it, is how I'm saying.
Aleia?
Aleia.
Like a totally important designer?
No.
Aleia? Yeah.
Aleia?
Rest in peace.
Mm. Aleia would have been 41.
Wow.
Yeah, that was what? This like year. This past week,
like,
wasn't
last
it?
Last week. Yeah. 41.
Wow.
Sad.
So Aleia, am I saying
now
that
see
right?
We've talked about it too much. It's like saying fork over and over again.
It's like it comes out of my mouth and I'm like, wait, what
is it?
This woman, she lost the fight with Sydney.
This woman.
This girl, she sure. Lost this fight with Sydney and she got kicked off the show, but Peter is torn up about it. This is the false negative dilemma. And we definitely know that she comes back because she's in this teaser for next week.
Jesus.
He was so Peter. Sure about it that he took away a rose in the rose ceremony. He wasn't even going to just, hey, I don't want
we'll
this
see.
Girl to be on the show. Maybe one of these other girls can just have that rose. I don't care if they can just go home next week. He was so sure about it that he was just like, nah, I don't even want to give the potential Aleia rose to anyone else. I'm done. Here's the last rose.
Any of these three other girls that left? Nobody.
And then, yes, immediately afterwards, backtracks and says, I don't know if I made the right decision.
Now, is Peter a Libra too?
I don't know. We'll have to throw that
to
the
we'll get
interns.
The kids on that too. Yeah.
It's it for the end of the road. Let's do a quick round of power rankings. Do you guys, how are you ranking your women?
It's
this
a great
week?
Question. As you know on the show, I rank based on what Peter is going to ultimately choose. Adam ranks based on his personal preferences. Most of the girls that he liked are gone. So
I
had a bad week last week.
I was going to move Sarah. I was going to move a blonde person.
Dummy.
In only week three.
So stupid.
Adam's the kiss of death.
Well, I am because
you make the list, you're gone.
Yeah. Peter and I openly here have very little in common.
Well, he's Cuban.
I'm not trying.
You're not.
You know. Yeah, that's it. It's really like it comes down to what country we're from.
However, you could probably pass for Cuban more than Peter
you
could
know,
pass for Cuban.
I would think that's true. And also, thank you.
You're
wow.
welcome.
Man of color, Adam Boniface.
Also, gracias. Sorry, I think I misspoke earlier.
You did. Sorry. Sorry. So how are you guys picking?
I did mine like Taylor does hers. So
thank you.
Just how Peter would choose the ladies.
Great.
I did mine in that I want to be correct. So probably in the same way that Taylor does.
Wow. It's amazing. It's amazing how it feels when you're right.
Is that what you think this is?
Okay. My number four. Is nobody. So in this spot, I will put Jennifer Aniston's lingering hand on Brad Pitt's breast during...
Lingering hand?
I said lingering hand. Lingery? I said lingering.
Are you trying to say lingerie?
I think you're saying it wrong.
No.
Loungering?
My number four is Jennifer Aniston's lingering hand on Brad Pitt's lapel during the SAG Awards last night. Wow.
Interesting choice.
Great. I had a hard time with number four also. I didn't. I didn't want to pick anybody because I only had four, but I'm going to go ahead and make it Deandra.
Oh.
Because she's the only person with nothing bad to say about her yet.
So you can expect her to be gone next week.
Well.
Sorry, Deandra.
Sorry, girl.
Peter's over here listening, taking notes. Like, I got to get rid of Deandra.
I got to get rid of this girl. She's out of here. Number four, Kurt.
I'm going to go with Victoria F. for no reason other than the fact that she already had a rose at the beginning of the show. And I didn't see last week's episode, so.
She's so hot.
Adam.
I
have to tell you.
She's not on my list.
I have to tell you.
She's not even on the list. I'm just saying, physically, she is very hot.
I'm not saying she's a good person. You cannot be sexy and model Confederate flag adjacent apparel.
Oh, that was her?
Yes.
Okay, she's off my list then.
You guys, but we cannot have this conversation every week.
I'm not saying she's good. I'm saying she's hot. Those are different things.
It's literally not okay.
I'll go with the blonde with the brows that at the very McKenna. That got picked at the very end.
Okay, the Canadian. Nice.
Yeah.
Mine is Madison, not because I know anything about her, but I think she did pretty
well
last
Wisconsin.
Week.
Got it.
Madison's my number three, so I'll go ahead and start there. She's doing great. Like, she's one of the long-run contenders here, but also, like, I'm kind of into it.
I love it. My number three is Victoria P. She had a great episode this week, and anytime your sob story comes up and Peter, or the lead, doesn't recoil in fear and or disgust, you'll be around for a while.
But will her face look like that by the end of the season? It's not going to age well.
It might melt.
Well, here's the thing. I think you have to get your fillers about every 6 to 8 weeks. So probably right before the finale, she'll get a re-up. So she'll be kind of close, though. Kurt?
My three is Hannah Ann.
Wow.
Similar because I didn't see last week, and she already has gotten some play with Peter. So
nice. Ann?
I chose Sydney because Peter seemed really impressed that she talked poorly about Alaya.
Well, she talks poorly.
In general.
Period.
But this is also the second...
End of sentence?
This is also the second week that she's gotten a group date rose. So that's something to discuss.
Without doing anything really outstanding.
That's true. I mean, last week she talked about,
interject, she is outstandingly hot.
She is outstandingly hot. No, okay, that is somebody I'm into,
just
okay?
Period. That's my number
she
two.
Talked about last week being, she talked about last week being, like, I'm, you know, mixed and Latinx, and I'm from, like, you know, Birmingham. I'm from the deep south of Alabama, and that was hard for me, and let me tell you about it. And also this week, I'm talking about this other girl, and Peter was like, this is hot. I'm still
I'm listening.
I'm listening. Talk about it. My number two is Kelly.
Mine as well.
Same.
Let me tell you something about my girl, Kelly.
Kelly
hates that. You know what I hate? Your face. How about change it completely?
Kelly's like, how many girls are there? Like 13? Yeah, I want to be 14th.
Like, can I just, like, go home, spend the night at my house, and then I'll see you
Kelly's
tomorrow?
Kelly's like, I'll just get an Uber, and maybe I'm done. Like, yeah.
I'm not even going to come back tomorrow. I'll be coming back, like, the second to last week.
Right. Can you provide me a list of where you're traveling, and then I will just show up in the location that I would like to see you at?
Yeah.
And Peter would probably be like, whatever you want. That's
whatever
fine.
Whatever you need.
Whatever you want. I will also shave before you show up.
Yep.
I'm interesting. I like, all three of you. We all saw, like, the beard thing happen.
That was big.
And then all of you put Kelly at number two.
Who did you put at your number two?
Sydney. I already talked about it.
Okay.
My number one is Hannah Ann because, I mean, like, that's what I'm into.
Yeah.
Like, you know.
Unfortunately.
Right? Sorry.
Sitting right
that's
here.
That's what I'm into. Yep. But you three should actually talk about the real show.
Kurt?
My number one is Victoria P.
Wow.
Same.
Similar because she had a very good date this week. Good episode. one thing, I think she was the one that made Aaliyah go away.
I agree.
Because 100%.
She was the final word in that.
She was the final word in
he
it.
He trusts her.
But not only was she the final word with it, she already had a rose in her hand.
Mm-hmm.
She could have said anything she wanted at that point.
Yeah.
She didn't have to tiptoe around it and say, well, you know, I don't want to start anything. I don't want to talk about it. Any of the other girls behind her back.
She should have taken Sydney out.
She already had the rose in her hand. She could have done anything she wanted.
And Victoria P. had different receipts. Like, that's the thing. It wasn't like there was some, oh, yeah, I'm not really sure. She's been acting weird in the house. Whereas Victoria P. was like, I actually knew her before this process, and she told me always invoke the producers if you really want to take somebody down. I knew her when I had my old face, pre-Botox, pre-fillers, and she told me not to tell you or tell the producers that we were on the show. That was what took her over
the
edge.
Which was accurate.
Accurate.
Aaliyah had to admit that to Peter, although she just said it's because she didn't want to be disqualified, which makes
trash,
sense.
Which
this girl is a bunch of drama. She has no business.
Kelly banged Peter before the show even started, and she's still there.
And nobody's talking about Kelly,
what
you
makes,
guys.
What makes you think that, I already know this girl over here is going to disqualify
me. Nah, bruh. My number one is Madison, because she literally hasn't said anything since their one-on-one date and continues to flip her hair.
She's
and
got
laugh.
Real nice hair. Yeah.
No, she doesn't. She needs a better deep conditioner.
Honey,
she's frizzy.
You're just a hater.
She's a frizzy girl.
Don't hate.
I'm not hating. Anybody have any bold predictions before we jump out of this thing?
Nothing happens next week.
Well, we're going to Cleveland pretty soon. Can't wait for that.
Woo!
Woo!
That's
bold
why nothing happens.
Kevin Love shows up.
God, I hope so.
Oh, finally.
Listen, I know he's married, but, what? If Kevin Love could show up in a suit, I'd love to hear more about it. He's got a little bit of that white trash dream man energy that I like to see.
I mean, I can't shut it down. I'm talking about Leslie Murphy over here. Like,
that's right.
She's not married, but, you know.
She's with that drone pilot guy. What's that about?
I don't know. Maybe she just doesn't know I'm an option.
Yeah, I shouldn't have gone with you when we went to the meetup. That was my bad.
Yeah, we did talk about being engaged or something. Like
you did. You started it. You really
I didn't start anything.
Well, you didn't. That's right. You
I started talking. Shivering, maybe, but that's you about did. As far
yeah,
as it goes.
Shivering out of nervousness. She said, are you shaking? Are you okay? Bold predictions from the two of you?
I mean, Kevin Love showing up. For
yeah, that's a big
here.
One.
That's all I've got.
I think Peter's showing up with no eyebrows at some point because Kelly told him
that's
to
a good
take
one.
Him off.
God, that's a good I one. Want Kelly to run with this so bad.
She's gonna. She would. I love Kelly.
You know what I think looks great? It's a guy who wears like a slacks and a Hawaiian shirt. You know, like, it's casual, but it's also dressy. Like, I think that looks great.
Especially when it's 30 degrees. You know, I'm from Chicago. I want to know you can take it.
You know, like, this is a game. See what you can do, right?
Yeah.
Like,
I love it.
Pull the levers.
Now, obviously, Aaliyah's going to come back, but do you think Aaliyah coming back is going to cause some girls to get up and
no,
walk
I think,
out?
No, I think she comes back for, like, literally one scene. She just walks up and she goes, oh my God, I'm here. And the producers are like, oh my God, how did you find us? And
how
she
did
goes,
you get a mic on?
She goes, I just want to be clear. I just want to make sure that you know that I'm not like this. And Peter goes, okay, whatever. Like, you have to go. I decided you left. So, I think that's what's going to happen. It's going to be boldly quiet.
I think so. Well, I guess we'll see you next week.
See, we'll see you for that boldly quiet episode next week.
Guys.
By the way, look, not even selling my own show.
No.
Here.
Kurt, Ant, thank you for joining us. Safe travels back to the Midwest.
Yes, thanks for having us.
Can we plug here?
Yeah.
Shamelessly.
Oh, please.
Shameless plug. Antoinette and I have a podcast of our own. It is an office recap podcast, and the premise of it is we try and figure out when the show ends because everyone would have been fired because they're all terrible employees.
That's right.
So the podcast is called Downsizing, and you can find that on
the description to this podcast.
That's right.
Okay.
We love a link.
There you
put
go.
It
link
in there.
It. Okay.
We stand for a link.
But yeah, it's Spotify, Google Play.
Anywhere you can find a
anywhere
podcast.
Podcasts are found. Yeah.
Sounds really great. Cute. Okay, everybody. We'll see you next week.
You're everyone's problem. That's because every time you go up in the air, you're unsafe.
I am a very safe guy. Practice safety in everything I do and
in everything.
I'm not going to stop now.
This is not normal, dating 30 women.
You're going to get the good, the bad, and the ugly. Live vicariously through my love story.
Everyone thinks I fell in love with everyone.
I am in touch with my emotions. It's like the number one thing for me.
I think it comes from my Cuban roots. It was uncomfortable. It was awkward. You date that many women, there's going to be drama.